found out through my career in food, as you well know, there is no wrong answer for what people like to eat. The most interesting thing is every once in a while I'll put out a post on social media and the crazies come out of the woodworks, you know? And I would argue that the crazies are on this show, okay? Everybody get up!
720 WGN, high atop Chicago in the Skyline studio, and on the line with us is one of our friends and one of America's favorite Food Network personalities, best-selling author, Air Force veteran, innovative tailgate pioneer, and star not only of the Food Network hit The Kitchen, but soon to be blockbuster center stage for the new hit Easter Basket Challenge, the one and only Sunny Anderson. Welcome to WGN.
Hey, babe. Long time no chat.
Well, you've been busy. You've been in the, you know, doing the R&D in the lab, creating stuff. And America's been sort of hibernating right through the course of the big pandemic. And so we're excited to come out of that with some great new shows. And before we get to Easter Basket Challenge, let's talk a little bit about this, because this is coming out even beforehand on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Is my faves versus your faves. And really, you know, as a background in radio, you know this. This is actually how I got my start in the whole food broadcasting, food radio thing. This was maybe 15 years ago. I was doing a morning show. We opened it up to like, what's your favorite pizza? Imagine that here in Chicago. And
is there pizza in Chicago?
Apparently, right? And people were serious. I mean, they were serious. Not only suggesting, hey, you got to try, but really making a case for it. Mm-hmm. That's what you guys are doing.
Yes, we are. And you know what is so funny? Because Jeff Morrow, your native son there, he and I, whenever the topic of pizza comes up, we have a vicious fight. It's a vicious fight about who's got the best pizza. But that's what fave versus fave is, or my fave versus your fave, is I have some guests come on, opinionated guests in the food field, and we discuss various food items. And obviously, you know, just fighting over pizza, people have some opinions about pretty much everything when it comes to what's on your plate. So we have two episodes that are airing on Cooking Channel at 9 o'clock. And it's fun because I just sit there as the referee. I don't want to get into these fights, but there are some times, like there's a moment where we talk about, you know, the perfect fry. And one of my guests, Christian Petroni, his choice of the perfect fry just surprised me, like, to no end. I couldn't believe he chose that fry. I'm thinking there's crinkle cut, there's curly fry, there's so many different fries you can choose from, but you chose that fry. So we had a real good argument about it. It's really hard smiling and arguing at the same time, but I practiced. And so no one has to see my mean face. But let me tell you, There are some really good debates. So the first episode, we tackle diner food, and the second one, we tackle bar food. And it is, let me tell you something, it's worth watching. I don't want to give too much away, but it's a food fight. And actually, I wanted that to be the title. Like, this is a food fight. We're all up in here just fighting over food. But my fave versus your fave is, to me, it's a sleeper hit. And I'm not saying it just because I host it. It's a show I would watch. Kind of like Ridiculousness. Like, I could watch that show for like 10 hours straight.
We've all seen, you know, we all love the Best Thing I Ever Ate, but that's just people sharing what it is that they love. To have someone actually sort of keeping score, right? You know, you're an independent, objective arbitrator. You're a benevolent dictator, right? For the show, you're kind of saying, here's how we're going to do this. And, you know, you got things like bar food too, because that is what, and I don't know if there's a right answer or a wrong answer. I guess you'll decide, but those are the things that people are, you know, they really stand behind.
Well, there's no, you know, I found out, you know, through my career in food, as you well know, there is no wrong answer for what people like to eat. And, you know, the most interesting thing is every once in a while I'll put out a post on social media telling people, share with me what are your grossest combinations that you know people say are gross, but you still love it. And the crazies come out of the woodworks, you know. And I would argue that the crazies are on this show, okay? Because everyone's got that. Everyone's got something. We were asking for the diner foods what your meal would be for breakfast, and what would it be for lunch, and what would it be for dinner. And some of the things people chose to eat for dinner at a diner were just like, you can't be serious. You know, it's disgusting. Why are you doing this? I don't want to give away the answers. No. I also don't want to cast aspersion on the guests that came in.
Right.
But some of them I just tell straight up, Dane. Like, Ali Khan, he came on. One of his answers was just gross.
Well, Sonny, you know what they say. I don't know if they actually say this. Maybe we're coining a phrase here, but one man's delicious is another man's disgusting, right? Or vice versa.
We can have that delicious. We can have it.
We'll have links. That's coming up 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 6:30 p.m. right here in Chicago. We'll have links up at WGNradio.com. The other thing everyone is looking forward to, and this is a big opportunity not only for your fans to see you center stage in a big way, but also tied to one of our great food holidays and also candy and everything, Easter Basket Challenge. Talk a little bit about how it sort of came to be and what people are going to enjoy coming up.
Yeah, so Easter Basket Challenge is a treat for the eyes and a treat for the senses. I love Easter mostly for the candy. I'll go ahead and admit I love peeps out of season. I even like to hoard them and then wait for them to get a little bit stale. It's just the whole thing I do. See again, probably on my favorite versus Faye, that'd be a problem with someone. But I love a stale peep. But so this show, we take contestants from all over the country, which they came in and they quarantined. But I would too if the big 25,000 Easter egg at the end was going to be mine. And that's what they're all crafting and baking for, which is a $25,000 prize. And each week we challenge them to not just make a cake. And these people are known in their areas for cake making. You know, some of them have small businesses on the side. Some of them are trained and some just learned from doing it. But we challenge them even bigger. You know, who's been challenged to make an egg-shaped cake that's more than 3 feet high, and, whoa, oh, by the way, hollow it out and put something inside of it that's hidden for the judges to find. You know, who's crafted with sugar and chocolate and cake and made a hat out of it, a bonnet, so, and then walked in a fashion show wearing it. So it's fun. It's silly. The designs and the cakes that we end up with are just truly spectacular. And then there are tears. The tears happen, Dane, you know.
Of course.
The crying. You know, the crying and then there's a lot of shade thrown. We have two contestants that love to just throw barbs at each other, which I'm going to watch because I want to see what gets left in. I want to see if practices and standards at Food Network is what it should be. But it's on at 10, so we get a little bit of leeway.
That's coming up. Yeah, that's coming up March 1st. We'll have links up at WGNradio.com. And for the listeners out there that think that maybe they've got in their mind the definition of Easter is the plastic grass, and then you got the peeps. You know, stale peeps could be a flavor of jelly beans, but they do come. There's a huge range, jelly beans and everything. And I think with the peeps too, I don't know if there's a stale flavored peep, but they do have like sriracha peeps and pumpkin spice peeps. And so there's a lot of opportunity here for what? Some. They got everything. Peeps, they branched
don't
out.
Don't make me Google when I'm on the phone with you. What are you talking about?
I know there's a bunch of different peep flavors. You can Google. Come on, for the inventors out there, you can identify with them.
Yes. Well, I already knew about the purples and the cotton candy, but there's so many different types. There's 5 new peep flavors. Listen, this is crazy. Yes. So you will see peeps in the show. We actually have a challenge where we challenge people to use as many peeps on their design as possible. And then we have some really cool, you know, challenges where people are making really like those cool jazzed up shakes where like the rim has everything in the candy aisle stuck to it. And then a straw, you know, coming out with maybe a hamburger on top. But it's a fun show. Like I said, it's a treat for the eyes. It's beautiful. It's colorful. But what I really love is $25,000 is, you know, for me, I remember making less than that a year. I'm in radio, so $25,000 is a yearly salary for someone. And to give that away because someone decided to step out on their skill and try something different and new, which is cake and design. You know, like I said, you know, many of the contestants, that's not their main job. It's pretty powerful to watch them struggle to get that $25,000.
Yep.
Yeah, there are tears.
A feast for the eyes, right. And then, of course, the famine, right. The agony of defeat. And we'll watch it all live on Food Network Easter Basket Challenge. For those people out there, the fans, and you have so many, you're so prolific on social media in a bunch of different ways, and so many ways that you share not only the stuff that people see on television, but also a lot of the cool stuff that you're doing with the dogs, with the animals, social media, and even on the writing side of it. And so let's talk a little bit about this for your fans to be able to experience Sonny Anderson in additional ways, and of course the best-selling books, but also now with a column in Food Network magazine. So this is a little bit different. What are you hoping to do, and what will people read as they check out the mag?
Dane, I'm really excited about being a columnist in Food Network Magazine. I did not take a direct route to it, but it's exactly what I wanted. And my new column is really just thanks to the readers. It's all crowdsourced. And I got the column because I edited the November issue of Food Network Magazine, which is something I never planned either. I just made a phone call, asked if I could do it, and then next thing you know, I'm knee deep in writing and interviewing. But in that issue, I thought it would be really fun if we asked people, if you don't like the macaroni and cheese that you picked on us about, what would you put in the macaroni and cheese? And so from the crowd telling me what they think would be in the quintessential mac and cheese, we developed a recipe from that. And that went so well that the magazine said, hey, Sunny, we'd like for you to come back and be a columnist for crowdsourced recipes throughout the year. So the first one was a crowdsourced spaghetti and meatballs. I went on Twitter and I asked out to all the parts, you know, the vegetables, the herbs, are we using canned tomatoes, fresh tomatoes, you know, what kind of meat, are we even making the meatballs, are we going to go buy them in the freezer section, like tell me everything. And from those answers in the poll, I keep my hands out of it. We send it to a culinary staff and they completely, without knowledge of what I would want to do, make that recipe. So it's truly the crowd, truly my hands. I'm just a conduit. And I love that because I think that we've all been somewhere to have an awesome meal and we love it, but we're like, I would do this or I would do that. We take it home and we make it our own. So the first issue is out in March. It's out on stands right now. It's the cover photo. I'm so proud of my baby, the spaghetti and meatballs. And the next one coming up is going to be ribs. Actually, really soon, I'm going to get online and start asking for people to give me their idea of what ribs. And first I have to figure out, like, is it beef ribs? Is it pork ribs? Are we rubbing? Are we saucing? What are we doing? You know, and then we've got to figure out from there what the recipe is. So it's a lot of fun for me. And it's not in every issue of Food Network Magazine because it does take time to compile. But I'm really, really happy because graduating from high school, I told myself I was a writer. And sometimes it takes years and years to get back to what you think you are. And I'm really happy with the indirect line getting me right back to where I always wanted to be. So I'm happy to be with Food Network Magazine. And like I said, March is the first month of my column. Oh, and every month, I'm donating my fee, right? So I didn't even expect. Yeah, so Dane, right? Like, I didn't even expect to get paid. And then they were like, we'd like to pay you. And I was like, well, I'd like to not get paid. I'll just forward that on to, you know, a charity. So for the month of March, I gave to the charity that I just rescued my dogs from, the Center for Animal Health and Welfare. And for the next one, which will be the ribs, I'll find another charity for that and just donate to them because, quite honestly, you know, if you can give, you should. And this job truly, wow, it came out of nowhere. And I'm so thankful for it. I want to immediately give it back to the universe.
Wow. Well, first off, you know, the not getting paid part, the idea that you're paying it forward, I think is absolutely great. The magazine is so lucky to have you because, you know, one of the things that we love and I know the fans love too is it's a two-way street with you. You're always kind of taking in input. You're giving out. It's a conversation. It always has been, whether it's been on social media or any of the other ways that you operate. And you're always so tapped in to not only your fans, but the public, and to have that direct connect for the magazine, I think is going to be great. People are going to be love it and have a role to play, not only in giving, you know, their thoughts on what's going on, but also the kind of creations that you're having built there. I think that is so cool. We have to, because on the social media side, we'll also, you know, you are always talking about the dogs and the fact that you're giving back to that. In a future conversation with us, we've got to take time and have you on the new Dog Park podcast. That's a big thing that we're going to be doing here at WGNradio.com. I know it's not necessarily a food thing, but it is a big part of who you are and the personality, and that's what people get with Sunny Anderson, is you get the whole thing. So we're so excited for all your success, and Sunny, I know we'll have links up at WGNradio.com for all the cool shows coming up and for the magazine and everything else. Is there like any social media handles you want to give out? People can keep up with your adventures.
You know, just at Sunny Anderson, and my baby Infladium is my snack stadium that I invented. Obviously Food Network Mag promo, and you know, just Dane, thank you so much. Throughout the years, you know, to me, being a former radio jock, to get the love from my radio family and to talk to you And I think you would understand when you talk about how I am always give and take with the audience. It's what we're used to in radio. We're used to sitting there and picking up the phone and answering questions or playing music or whatever, you know, request is there. So for me, social media and writing and people being accessible and myself being accessible to them, the viewers, you know, it's just to me is more of the same. It's what I was used to. I never thought I would get into this career field and then all of a sudden shut down and become so busy that I can't say hi or thanks or confer or chat with people that are of a like mind that are watching my show or supporting what I'm writing. You know, it's an honor actually to be able to speak with people that support you. So I'm always going to try and be accessible. And, you know, with Dane, I think it's because we're radio people and that's what we do.
It's so cool. All the things that you're doing, again, we'll have links up and to be able to take all the fans with you in all those incarnations on Food Network and with the magazine. It's all great. So, Sonny, thanks so much. We'll let you get back to it. And thanks again for jumping on the show today.
No problem, Dane. Just one last question. I'm really confused. Is there pizza in Chicago?
You know, it's so crazy. No, Sonny, because we're so known for the deep dish pizza, but there's this whole backlash and kickback because we think, and if you ask, you know, ask Jeff, you know, our indigenous favorite son, as you come into town, it says home of, right? You know, we're a thin crust town. We're like a pub style, cut and squares town. So I don't know. I guess the debate continues. It rages, if you will. But thanks, Sonny.
It rages on.
We'll talk to you soon.
Hi, Dane. Take care.